God, as we hear through the spoken word and the sung word, powerful messages of your love for us, may that remind us that you are the one that we worship and you are the one that we praise. Through this message, God, just touch the hearts of those who are present so that we may become more of what you desire. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is week three of a series for Faith Promise, which is our focus on missions every year. And the title of the series has been Across the Street, Across the Sea, reminding us that the missions that we are about reach out to persons that are as close to us physically as just across the street, but also that our focus of our mission also reaches around the world, across the sea. And today I'd like to remind us that as we talk about across the street, across the sea, that Jesus says to each one of us that we have a cross that is to be shared in all of these ministries. And so that is what this series has been about. And today I want to look at a parable of Jesus. You know, Jesus was always a very captivating storyteller and always had a purpose or reason for the stories that he told. And this particular story that we'll hear today, this parable, is from the book of Luke. And what it will speak to us about is doing ministries beyond the walls or the building of this church. Ministry outside of these walls. And so what it will say to us that we're supposed to be thinking about living outside of the box, outside of our comfort zone, experiencing probably unnerving moments, and that indeed these experiences will be life-changing. If we live only within our walls, what happens to us as a body of Christ as we become totally self-serving and we just take care of ourselves and neglect the rest of the world. And Jesus says, this is not what I want you to be. I personally am always so happy when I'll have conversations with persons and they may share with me, I kind of thought about working at the food pantry, but feel a little bit unsure, uncomfortable about what we do there and how to interact, and kind of has been an excuse for a long time, and because I feel so uncomfortable, but maybe I'll try that sometime after all. I love it when I hear a person share with me, you know, that Fletcher Place breakfast on Friday mornings sounds like a really great opportunity, but I'm just not sure I'm comfortable with visiting with the guests who come there to be fed and what we may have to talk about, so I'm just not so sure I'm comfortable with that, but then eventually are willing to try that. Because what I want you to know is that if you know persons who seem very comfortable with serving in outreach and missions, it's probably not the way they always felt. Because when we serve other persons, those in need, there's always a beginning. There's always a time when we feel uncomfortable. Whether now you see that person who looks very comfortable, there probably was a beginning. And the other thing we can know, that not only is there an uncomfortableness at the beginning, but also along the way, as we remain and continue to be open to where God will lead us or to see different ways to serve, that again, that uncomfortableness can come back into our lives. I remember probably what was one of my first experiences like this when I was a youth in our youth ministry at our church. And we were reaching out to inner city youth who were struggling with drug and alcohol problems. And it was okay when we got together all as a big group, and usually our leaders did a lot of the connecting, and that was fairly comfortable. And usually if we wanted to sit and mingle together, usually a couple of us would go together. We never would go alone. And then there was that day when I was sitting with one of those youth, and it was just the two of us, and that youth began to ask me some questions, and I was uncomfortable. Asked me about how did I understand Jesus? And why did I believe in Jesus? And what difference did Jesus make in my life or in anyone's life? And I was uncomfortable with that first beginning conversation. But from there, things began to change for me. And so fast forward a number of years, doing a lot of missions, you know, feeling comfortable at times. Back in about the year 2000, 2001, made my first trip to Africa, to Sierra Leone. We were going over there to build, our purpose was to build a grade school. That first night, we arrived from our flight and flew from the U.S. and landed in Sierra Leone after dark, well after dark. And I can remember that airport didn't exactly look like our airports. The chaos was much different than the organization that we usually experience. The smells were different. The voices were different. The people were different. And I thought, you know, I'm really uncomfortable being here out in mission. And so after we left the airport, we got in a van by a driver that we came to know, Abu. And Abu needed to drive us to where we would get on a ferry to go across a bay to get where we would do ministry. And on this map, you can see just north of Freetown on the left, Lungi is where the airport was, and there's a little bay there. And so we pulled our van up late at night in a row of other cars, and he turns out the light, turns off the car, and we're sitting there for a while. And so one of us was brave enough to say, Abu, when do we cross the ferry? And he said, tomorrow morning. And so there we were in this unusual country with all these unusual sounds going along outside of us, and it was extremely late. And what do you mean tomorrow? The ferry will run at about 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Where are we going to go? We will wait. What do you mean we'll wait? We'll just wait. And that's what we did. We waited all night long in that van, trying to find comfortable ways to sit, hot, humid. For a while, I hung my legs out the window, but then when I started hearing all these dogs howling, I wasn't sure what that was about, so I pulled my legs back in the van. But that was an uncomfortable time as I was launching into yet another kind of mission experience. And I believe that this is what this story, what we're going to hear from Jesus is about, because in this story, a lawyer stands up and questions him, hey, Jesus, what does it mean when you talk about eternal life? And this lawyer is a big deal in this community, as lawyers were. And in that time and in that period, lawyers did not just study the law, but they are also experts with Scripture, and everyone knew that. And another thing that people of that time knew, that this was a practice that their prayer time and study of Scriptures multiple times in a day. And a part of that practice was a ritual that they worked with, what is called a phylactery. And a phylactery is a box that they would tie to their heads and a box that they would tie to their arm. And connecting between the two boxes were leather straps that would be wound around your arm and up there. And what this symbolized and meant to them was that inside these little boxes were Scriptures that were absolutely essential to their faith and their understanding. And so the Scripture, they had them in both boxes, and what they were demonstrating as they pray is that they wanted those Scriptures in their mind and in their heart. And so that was a discipline that they practiced. And two Scriptures Jesus knew would regularly be in those phylacteries were Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, 18. So Jesus knew that this lawyer knew those Scriptures by heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so so Jesus knew that that's what he would know. And Jesus also knew this lawyer would believe with all of his heart that he was living out these Scriptures, and he was living this life as God would desire. And so Jesus says, yeah, you'll give the right answer. Go and do this, and you will live. Jesus knew when he said that the lawyer would think, I am doing that. But here in this parable, Jesus is going to say to this lawyer and to us, you are not living that. And let me show you a different way that this will look. And so he launched into this story, this parable. I want to tell you a little bit about the setting of this parable. Took place on a road between Jerusalem and between Jericho. Jerusalem was 2,300 feet above sea level, and Jericho was 1,300 feet below sea level. So, and there was 20 miles between these two cities. So in that 20 miles, you had 3,600 feet drop, and so it was a very steep road. It was also very remote, and it was known for robbers that would stay around there and rob persons that traveled along that road. It was called the Red or the Bloody Way, so it was a rough place to be, and that's where this parable takes place this day that Jesus told. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." See, in this story, we can know, since we know a little bit about that road that connected Jericho and Jerusalem, it probably was not a very smart move on this gentleman's part to have been traveling by himself on that road. Probably describe him as reckless and foolhardy. I mean, let's bring this concept to today. What would it be like if we had in the news that night after night after night at a certain mall parking lot in the evenings that persons were being accosted and they were being beat up and their credit cards and their cash was being stolen and cars were being broken into? How would we be wise to go there after dark by ourselves? Probably not. And that's the kind of risk that this man had taken on this road. So then Jesus uses 3 passers-by to make a point to us. And I'm going to combine the point of 2 of them together, first of all. And I first want to speak to the priest and the Levite. We must know that priests and Levites were very well-versed in the scriptures of the Old Testament. So they would have been very familiar with a scripture that's in Numbers chapter 19, verse 11, that read, "Those who touch the dead body of any human being shall be unclean for 7 days." They would know that. And they would realize that in their minds, what God desired most and what was most important to them as they understood God was that they were clean, so that they could always conduct the business of the temple, that absolutely nothing was ever to get in the way, because that was of ultimate importance for them. And so nothing else was to interfere. But also, it also was one of the easiest ways for them to find excuses for why not to help, why not to care, why not to get involved. In their minds, they had noble excuses. They weren't monsters. They were religious professionals who were truly honoring God in their minds. But Jesus will be saying, what has happened is that you are living a lifeless religion. And so Jesus came to shake all that up and change and bring in a new spirit and a new energy. So then he introduces this other passerby, this Good Samaritan. You have to know that that's an oxymoron, because in that culture of that time, Samaritans were not good. In fact, they were anything but good. They were seen as people who had betrayed God. They had married outside of the faith, who had been told not to do that, and they were also worshiping other gods. So there was nothing good about a Good Samaritan, but yet this parable is the parable of the Good Samaritan, indicates to us that Jesus is up to something. In that first century, when Jesus told this parable, the Jewish understanding of being generous, being compassionate, was a word used, liberalitos. And what liberalitos indicated was all about people giving to other people who could return the favor. So that's the kind of generosity that they practiced, is that they would give to others who could give to them. And Jesus said, that's not what I intend, because you're only taking care of yourselves, and that's not what I intend. Jesus said, I came to introduce to you a new kind of generosity and compassion that is called charity, and the word for that is caritas. And what caritas means is to give and to do for another, expecting nothing in return. And that's true charity, true generosity, and true compassion is what he's wanting to show through this parable. Jesus answered three points in this parable. And the first one was that we must help persons even if they bring their trouble upon themselves. The second point, any person of any nation is our neighbor, and our help is to be as wide as the love of God. And the third is that our help needs to be practical, not just feeling sorry for someone, but it needs to be practical. So in this parable of the Good Samaritan, we see those points through the Good Samaritan. First of all, the Good Samaritan very possibly risked his life to stop and help that man on the side of the road because he was beaten up and hurt by a robber. And this Good Samaritan would have no idea where this robber was. Was he still in the area? So he was probably risking his own life and his own safety to help this gentleman. Second of all, these persons were of two different worlds. The Good Samaritan was obviously a man of Samaria who was rejected by many in that culture, and the other was a man who was not a Samaritan. And finally, what we know from this story is the Good Samaritan didn't simply feel sorry for the man at the side of the road, but he actually was very helpful, even to the point we can know where it says that he left the innkeeper, first of all, 2 denarii. That would have been about 2 days' pay for him, is what he did to help the gentleman. And so Jesus tells the story to begin this movement of generosity and compassion, which has grown through history and grown through the years, and which has become the hallmark of Christianity as we understand compassion and generosity. And if we look at various experiences of Christians along the timeline of history, we can see how this has continued to unfold throughout our history. If we remember back to the 2nd and 3rd century when there was a terrible plague in Rome, and about 1/3 to 1/4 of the residents there were killed because of this plague. And it got to the point where many of the Romans would flee Rome and to try to get away from the plague so that they could live. But what happened is that many of the Christians remained in that community. And not only did they take care of their own Christian families, but the Romans observed that they also reached out and took care of the other Romans who remained in that empire. And it was observing those actions of the Christians, the generosity and compassion that was unusual at that time, that impacted many of those persons to make note of that, boy, this Christianity is changing physically and spiritually. Move forward in the 3rd century, Saint Pachomius was born in Egypt. And at that time, the Roman soldiers would come through and sweep up any of the young men who were 21 years old, take them to a camp and turn them into warriors. And it was while Saint Pachomius resided in that camp that Christians daily brought food and comfort to him and to the others. And they noticed, and obviously they were blessed by that. And he wasn't a Christian at the time, but as he began to talk to the Christians and see these acts of compassion and generosity, he was changed. So that eventually he became a Christian, began many monasteries, and became a saint in the Catholic Church and the Coptic Church also. It was continuing to show those acts of generosity throughout history. So as we stand here today, I think what we need to ask ourselves is that parable was told by Jesus 2,000 years ago. And since then, many Christians have attempted throughout history to live that out. And so today, what does it say to each of us? How does that parable, how is it real today in today's setting intended to impact us? This last week, when Scott preached in here, I preached in the contemporary service, and I shared this story in this sermon, The Good Samaritan. Last week, I did the same, and today, as I always do as I begin Sunday mornings, is I drive through McDonald's early in the morning, around 6 or before, and always pick up an iced tea for the day. And I've done that for years, and over the years, I've gotten to know several of the persons who work there at the windows. And so through conversation, oftentimes, they'll say, "So, Patty, what are you going to preach about today?" And that was the question I had last week. "So, Patty, what are you going to preach about today?" And I told them it was the Good Samaritan, and they were familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, and we talked a little bit. So I drove through this morning, the same window and the same people, but was greeted in a different manner. One of the individuals was very rattled. She said, "Oh, some people didn't show up. We're really struggling." And I could tell as I waited in a long line, and so she asked me to pull up, and as they sometimes do, and wait, and she'd bring my tea out to me. And when she brought the tea out to me today, she handed me the tea and she said, "Patty, will you pray for me?" And she was in tears. And she said, of course, she was frustrated because the individual didn't turn up. She said, "You know what? I want you to know that I'm the working poor." And so as she began to share her story, my mind began to, as I was listening, wandering, okay, God, here goes the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because you have one of your preachers who's headed into church to lead worship this morning. And I go around on these, they're not necessarily, I didn't have a steep drive to work by any means in Carmel, but it was a little bit winding, as sometimes I drive through some of our roundabouts. And I finally arrive at McDonald's, and there in my road is an individual who's sharing this story of how she's feeling lost and has such need. And she shared that, you know, it's hard for her. She makes $10.71 an hour at McDonald's and needs to work a second job in order to survive and to make ends meet. And she gets to the point where she wonders, where is the hope and the opportunity in any of this? You know, life just seems like it was, she felt destitute. And she said, "I guess I just needed to share that with you today because I guess I'm the voice for the working poor." As I drove away and thought about the parable that I was about to share with you this morning, I thought that this parable had come to life for me, because indeed, I was the person, the priest or the Levite, going to work, and was encountered with this person, and at this point, I have a choice of what I'm going to do with this person in my life. And I think to make the parable alive for all of us, that all of us need to consider this parable as it speaks into our own lives. So what is it that God intends you to realize? Who is the persons that come into your path and into your life who express to you a need? And then what is our response? Will it be like the priest and the Levite, or will it be like the Good Samaritan? And that's where today's parable changed for me and became very real and speaks deeply into my own heart, as I hope it speaks into your heart. As you consider this day, as you sign your commitment, your pledge card to missions for 2017, as you sign and make a commitment to support the missions financially and also through your time, God has called all of us to lives of generosity and to lives of compassion. And God has called all of us out of our comfortableness to become uncomfortable and to reach out and to serve. The Good Samaritan gave away, without even thinking, 2 days of pay, not even considering perhaps what that meant to him. So that's my question for you this day, is as you fill out your card, will you just be prayerful and turn to God and ask him what he desires for you to be sharing this upcoming year. For me, I will make my my commitments as I always make, but I do believe that this parable speaks into my life in a very different and unique way, and that you have permission to ask me in the future, well, what did I do about that parable? What has happened and what has come out of that that was life-changing? As you have in your bulletin, the Faith Promise card, what I invite you to do is to take a moment and to fill that out. And again, if you're not prepared to do that, please feel free to bring it to the church office, mail it to the church, or bring it to worship next Sunday with you. But I hope that you'll prayerfully allow the parable of the Good Samaritan to impact your life. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? Gracious and holy God, just praise you and thank you for the ways that you do call us, to growing and changing ways in which we live our lives. God, I just pray that you will challenge every person here in the way that they hear this message and the way they hear this parable, and that it won't simply be a story that happened long, long ago. It will not be a story that impacted lives of Christians long ago, but it is a story that challenges each person here this day. In the name of Jesus. Amen.